الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, welcome back to our silsila. And as you have noticed that in this silsila, we are trying to highlight some of the things that people rush into. Now these things could be your ibadat, your mu'amalat, other things, even worldly affairs that people will rush into and then they will not get the positive results that a person wishes to see. Now, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, in today's silsila, again, we're going to highlight some of the things that people will rush into. For example, when people are stuck in a crowd, how people rush into that as well. And in the same way, when people are, this is especially for the students, when they wish to choose a subject that they want to study, they will rush into that and then they will not get the results what these people will be looking for. So, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, please stay with us during the silsila and there'll be many, many beautiful things and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that we will learn and we will read. So please, inshallah, listen carefully, attentively and try to capture knowledge in every silsila. We keep on repeating this so that inshallah, we can gain the maximum benefit of the silsila and especially when it's about learning the deen of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Remember, as Muslims, we are all muballighs, we are all preachers. And whatever we know, whatever we learn, it becomes our duty that we go and teach this to other Muslims as well. As Allah azza wa jal, He says in the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ That you are the best nation chosen amongst the people. Why? Because you invite towards good and you forbid evil. And the only way the scholars, they say that you can forbid evil is that when you know about evil, when you know how to keep people away from evil, and then you can only invite towards the righteousness, the right path is when you know the way how to invite people as well, and you know about the deen. So my dear Islam brothers, it's very, very important that we educate ourselves in the deen, and inshallah, azza wa jal, in this manner, save our deen as well, and also the iman of many other people as well. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, let's start off with the beautiful blessing of reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Amir Ahl Sunnah Shaykh Tariqat, the leader and founder of Dawat Islami, Hazrat Allama Maulana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Sattar Qadri, may his shadow remain upon us. In one of his bayans, he mentions a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that the one who recites durood upon me once, Allah Azza wa Jal will shower 10 blessings upon that person. And whoever recites 10 times durood upon me, Allah Azza wa Jal will shower 100 blessings upon that person. And whoever recites 100 times durood e paak upon me, Allah Azza wa Jal will shower 1,000 blessings upon that person. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. The first thing, my dear Islam brothers, we're going to continue highlighting some of the things. And the first thing that we're going to start off with today is rushing in the crowd. Just imagine you're in a place and then there is a huge crowd there and something happens. A lot of the time what happens is people, they start running and then they cause problems. Or sometimes people start pushing from behind. For example, this commonly happens in a masjid. Especially when it's a big masjid, you're offering Salatul Jumu'ah or Salatul Taraweeh, and then you are coming outside, there's a lot of rush, people are putting their shoes on, people are putting their slippers on, and then what happens, you only need one person to start pushing. And then the whole thing is like a domino effect. People start pushing one another because why? They just want to get out. Now at this time, my dear Islam brothers, remember that to push and to hurt a Muslim is against the beautiful sunnat of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In one of the hadiths, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, and the mafhum is, that a kamil Muslim, a true, a complete Muslim, is he whose hands and tongue does not cause trouble to another Muslim. So he is a kamil Muslim. He is a true Muslim. That the one, he doesn't cause harm to another Muslim with his hand, with his tongue as well. And so many times what happens, just one person needs to push someone, and the person you are pushing, he'll turn around and say, you know, ma'azallah, he might swear at you, or he might say something that you don't like, and then what happens? There is a scene that has kicked off now. Why? Because of rushing, because of just getting out there. We need to be calm, we need to be careful, especially so many times this incident have taken place, where people are coming downstairs and they're rushing, they just want to get out of the masjid, ma'azallah, as if, you know, we've been in the masjid for so long, we need to get out of here. Remember, do not, especially when you are coming down the stairs, do not run down the stairs. Maybe you can trip over. And there was an incident that happened recently where someone was coming down the stairs and he tripped over and he fell from the stairs and he was, you know, seriously injured. Now, he was lucky that he was seriously injured. You might know of many people who were not only seriously injured, but sadly, they lost their lives as well. So, my dear Islam brothers, remember to cause harm to another Muslim, because you are making that rush. You are making a scene. You are making other people do that as well. You are causing pain to another Muslim. Let's go to a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Without any shari reason, causing grief to a Muslim is haram and is sinful, and it takes one towards the fire of hell. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in one of the hadith which Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahl Sunnah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he quotes in Fatawa Razviya Sharif, volume number 24, page 342. Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he writes the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man aza musliman, faqad azani, wa man azani, faqad azallah. That the one who troubles a Muslim has troubled me, and whoever troubles me has troubled Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, whoever troubles one Muslim, and there is another hadith that the scholars, they mention that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that if the whole world, yani whatever is in the world and in the heavens, whatever, everyone, if they all get together and shed blood of one Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will gather all of them and throw them into the fire of hell. Now just imagine, think, my dear Islamic brothers, we may have caused harm to a Muslim. We may have hurt someone's feeling. Now this doesn't mean physical problem, physical pain. There is all mentally pain as well. There is mentally pain and there is physical pain as well. And remember, one Muslim who gets pain from you, remember on the day of judgment, we will have to answer to Allah Azza wa Jal. We have to repay that. Even to an extent, it says that if a goat hits another goat in the world on the day of judgment, the other goat will be asked to take revenge from that goat. So they were talking about animals here. And then what will happen? These animals, they will be finished. They will finish. They're no more. They will have no questions on the day of judgment. But as Muslims, we will have to answer to Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment. And just imagine, my dear Islamic brothers, standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment. We might be a haji, we might be a hafiz, we might be an alim, we might be someone who gives in a lot in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. We might be known as one of the best person in the world. Yet if we have caused pain to another Muslim, we will have to repay that on the day of judgment. And I'm seriously telling you, we will never ever be able to repay them on the day of judgment. If you have said something to someone, you've hurt his feeling, or you have hit someone, ma'azallah, without any sharia, any valid reason, then say sorry to him now, because on the day of judgment, my dear Islamic brothers, we will have to repay with our deeds. And how many deeds do you know? If I look at myself, how many deeds have I done? And how much or how many deeds do I know that have been accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal? I don't even know. So my dear Islamic brothers, inshallah Azza wa Jal, this beautiful Madani environment of Dawat Islami, it teaches us, alhamdulillah, is trying to make us a better Muslim. A Muslim that inshallah on the day of judgment, when this Muslim will be standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, inshallah Azza wa Jal, he will be answering to the questions, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, he'll be given the book of deeds in his right hand. And when someone is given the book of deeds in his right hand, then you know that that person has been forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jal. So my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, in accordance to this, you know, even people when they are doing the tawaf of the Kaaba, And when people are doing the tawaf of the Kaaba, for a man to do ramal, ramal is like walking like a wrestler. Then Amir al-Sunnah in Rafiqul Haramain in the Urdu version on page number 70, Amir al-Sunnah, he writes that for a man to do ramal in the first three counts, yani the first three tawaf chakras around the Kaaba, is a sunnah for men, not for women, for men. But Amir al-Sunnah, he further on, he writes, but if there is a lot of people, if there is a rush, then you walk as normal. Walk normally. Don't be rushing around because it's a sunnah. Now remember, doing a ramal is a sunnah, but causing harm, causing pain, or to even hit another Muslim, ma'azallah, that is haram. So you do not have the permission to do something which is a sunnah, but do something that is haram. We don't have that permission. So even my dear Islamic brothers, when we do the tawaf of the Kaaba, a lot of time you see people, they run around people, they're dodging people, and ma'azallah, sometimes they'll be stepping on someone's foot, they'll be, you know, cutting into people, and people, they'll be pushing people around, and it only takes one person. I know that Islamic brother, he was saying that he was doing the tawaf of the Kaaba, and then a group of people, they came and they started pushing people. Obviously, it has that domino effect. So one person has been pushed, he will push another one, he will push another one. And suddenly what happened, a woman, or an old woman who was very weak, she fell to the ground and she seriously injured herself. Why? Because people were now trampling over her. So please, especially those hajis, remember where you are. You are in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. You are in that place which is the most sacred place on earth. And yet if we are in that place and we are pushing around people, why? Because I want to get my tawaf completed quickly. I want to go home. I want to get in the hotel. I want to have a shower and I want to have a relax. A lot of people have this mentality. And sometimes, because this is to do with your ibadat, why are you jeopardizing your ibadat? A lot of people, they go for umrah, they go for hajj, and just to do the tawaf, just to get the umrah, ma'azallah, a lot of people, you know, sometimes we've heard this uttering. Yeah, people say, oh, let's get umrah out of way. Let's get this thing out of way. This is your ibadat. We shouldn't be talking like this. We should be doing umrah, we should be doing tawaf, we should be reading, offering our salah in such a calmly manner that people can look at us and they can learn from us. How are we, people are going to learn from us? What perspective are people are going to have when they look at you? So my dear Islam brothers, remember that it is very, very important. And there is no goodness in running. What's the point in running? Another beautiful hadith that Amir al-Sunnah has quoted in his book is that Sayyiduna ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he quotes a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He reports that one day he was on the day of Arafah, when they were coming back with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, they saw that some people behind the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, they were whipping their camels and they were making them run. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, he turned around and he gave him the order and he says, calm down. What is the goodness in running? Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, what is the purpose of running? Why are you running? And moving on, another thing that a lot of people, this is especially for the students, maybe whatever you are, students, they rush into choosing a subject. And remember that subject now you have chosen, maybe for the whole year, you have to work on this subject. And I've met with so many students, why are you not in the madrasa, or college or university? I'm going to take a year off. Why? Because I chose the wrong subject. That subject was too hard for me. And now I'm trying to choose another subject. Now for choosing another subject, that's 1 year of your studies wasted. So my dear Islam brothers, never ever rush into these things. Because these things, like I said before, when we make these decisions without thinking, without calmly making these decisions, we will lose out. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he came into the court of Imam Muhammad, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, to learn fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence. And Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Muhammad, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, upon feeling that Imam Bukhari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu's nature more inclined towards hadith, he said to him, go and seek ilm hadith. Because not everyone is for the same subject. Your friend, why are you doing this subject? Why have you chosen this topic? Or my friend's doing that, so I'm going to do the same. Your friend is different to you. Maybe he can achieve good results in that subject, and you could be doing something better. So what happens is a lot of the time, I know I met with people who have chosen the subjects. Why? Because their friends are doing the same as well. And then what happens? The friends, they pass that subject and they will fail that subject. And then because it's their whole career, they're jeopardizing their whole career. So do something that you will do good in it. And just like Imam Sayyiduna Muhammad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he told Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, because he saw that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was more inclined in dars-e-hadith, in learning about the knowledge of hadith. So he told him, he goes to him, go and seek ilm-e-hadith. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he accepted the advice and started learning. And it has been seen that they excelled over all the other scholars of hadith and became Imamul Muhaddisin and wrote a renowned book. Who is Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi? Imam Bukhari is the one who wrote the Bukhari Sharif. That is a beautiful book after the Quran. The Bukhari Sharif is known as respected, one of the most sacred books, because that is the book of hadith, Bukhari Sharif. Up amongst the Sahasitta, the six books of Ahadith, Bukhari Sharif is on the top level. So now can you see, if Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was supposed to learn another subject, he might not have done better in other subjects than he has done in Hadith. And such, he became the Imam of Muhaddisin, the Imam of all those who wrote the Hadith. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, if you are studying, If this is your time that you are choosing a subject now, because you need to see which way you want to take your career, so make sure that you choose the right subject. And then have a mashura with people. Have a mashura with your family members. Have a mashura with your father, your mother. Now, ma'azallah, sadly today, what do we see? Those brothers, sometimes, not always, not a majority of them, but this is a minority. They sometimes think, what does my dad know? He's uneducated anyway. What does my mom know? This is modern times, modern knowledge. My mom and dad don't know that. But my dear Islam brothers, your mom and dad have experience of life which you don't have as well. So make sure that you can sit down with your mom and be calm. And be relaxed. And think to yourself that you are doing a mashwara, which is a sunnah. Yes, to sit down with someone and to have a mashwara is also a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So have a family discussion, see where you want to take your career towards, and alhamdulillah azza wa jal, choose the right subject, that subject that you will know that you will excel and you will know better in that as well. And then my dear Islam brothers, always, always respect your elders' decision. Respect the decision of your parents. And then even go to your teachers, so sit down with them, talk to them as well. See, they'll tell you, they'll give you that on-hand knowledge, how you have been doing in this subject. For example, just for argument's sake, if someone, he goes to a maths teacher and he says, I want to do maths, I want to do English, I want to do this subject. And your teacher says, you're the worst student in this class. You're not good at maths, you're not good at English. So what's the point doing maths and English where you're not good at? Yeah, so in the same way, my dear Islamic brothers, do something which you know that you will do good in. Now, another thing that people rush into is mentioning or even labeling someone as a sinner. Oh, this guy is a sinner. Ma'azallah, you find that a lot of the times today, especially in the Western world, when you see someone driving a beautiful car, he lives in a big mansion, straight away people, what do they assume? An assumption is haram. What do they assume? Drug money, credit card fraud. Oh, this guy is a drug dealer, man. You keep away. I know where he got his car from. He's driving that car. It's all drug money. How do you know? The only reason why you're saying that is because you're jealous. I'm sorry to say this. Yes, you're jealous because he's driving a good car. He's got a good house. And you are jealous because you don't have that. And remember, a jealous person indirectly is not happy with what Allah Ta'ala has given him. So you are not only... you're not jealous because this person has got a car. In ma'azallah, indirectly you are saying to Allah that, Ya Allah, I'm not happy with what you've given him. No, that is jealousy. And jealousy is haram. And jealousy eats away your sins like fire eats away wood. That is how bad jealousy is. And we see that a lot of the times, people, because they're jealous, they don't have something and they label someone else as a sinner, ma'azallah, someone who doesn't, you know, if he's offering his salah, he makes a slight mistake, oh, he doesn't know how to read namaz. So you're labeling someone, you're telling someone that he's not good at that. Why? Okay, you're the only best person who knows how to read the namaz. Is that true? No, it's not true. You have so many sins that people don't know of. Allah Ta'ala has protected you. Allah Ta'ala has put a curtain in front of you and your sins. If Allah Ta'ala has protected you, if Allah Ta'ala has put a curtain in front of your sins, then who gave you that permission to go and let secrets out of other people as well? What if the same thing happens to you? And remember what the scholars, they say, that on the day of judgment, a person who does not keep the secrets of another Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will reveal his secrets on the day of judgment. You see someone, ma'azallah, drinking alcohol. Yeah, that's a bad thing. It's haram. He shouldn't have done it. But yeah, going around telling people so-and-so is an alcoholic. Okay, if you're telling the right person, for example, you're telling his parents, or you know that I'm going to tell this person, he has an influence over this person, he may talk to him and he may stop drinking. Well, that is jais. But going and telling 100 people that he's an alcoholic, he's a drug dealer, or even, you know, this guy, he does gambling. Oh, I know him. Don't you know this person? He gambles. Yeah, he gambles. I've seen him many times. That is haram. As a Muslim, you are supposed to hide his faults. You are supposed to hide his faults. And then with the intention and having this in your heart, that inshallah, Azza wa Jal, the way I have hidden his faults in front of people, Allah Ta'ala maybe will hide your faults on the day of judgment. So my dear Islam brothers, hastiness, rushing and making decisions for a person, that is also bad. And then like I say, these things, and then sometimes what happens, people, ma'azallah, they go, now we've got an era where WhatsApp is, you know, everyone's got WhatsApp. You know, you see someone doing something wrong, the pictures circulating all over the world. You know, where one person knew that because this person is rushing into making that decision. You know, you have a glass, and then in that glass, you might have apple juice. And it's happened many times. He's got apple juice in a glass, and the person seeing that, he goes, oh, astaghfirullah, he's got sharab, he's got alcohol in the glass. It's only an apple juice glass. But because you're making that assumption, even that assumption is haram as well. And then, by not just making this assumption, you're advertising his sins. Okay, for argument's sake, it is a glass of alcohol. It is a glass of wine. Then we still do not have that permission to go and spread this news to everyone. Someone who's done something wrong, ma'azallah, someone has been caught selling drugs, his name is in the front of the newspapers, then what will happen? It's straight away, it's WhatsApp to all over the world. Yeah, so and so. So people who didn't know that this, especially when it is a religious person, ma'azallah, people will, you know, whatever little, in not even sins, we're talking about mistakes here, even slight mistakes that a religious person does, for example, an imam, someone with a beard, someone with an imamah sharif, if he makes a slight little mistake, then that's it, hell breaks loose, yeah? Everyone needs to know that, oh, so-and-so person, oh, yeah, he had an imamah and he's got a beard on, ma'azallah, do you know, this is what he did, he's a human end of day. Just like the shaitan is after you, the shaitan's after him as well. And maybe the shaitan is more after him because he is in this religious field and you're not in the religious field. And sometimes you see people, for example, I know about one person, he looked religious and he had an argument. And during that argument, he said something wrong to someone. And that's it. You know, people were recording that. It's all gone all over the world. You know, astaghfirullah, Maulvi Sahab said these words. Yeah, you say these words every single day. I'm not trying to cover anyone. He said it once, hasn't he? And that was slip of the tongue. That was a mistake that he has. And he acknowledges that he made a mistake. Yet you are trying to advertise this mistake all over the world. Why? Because he was a religious person. And remember, my dear Islamic brothers, Amiri Ahle Sunnah, he mentions these in Kufriya Kalimat ke bare mein sawal jawab. I want you to read that book. I'm not going to give you what he said. I want you to read that book, especially when you have these ill thoughts about an alim, ill thoughts about a religious person. What is the ruling? I want you to read that book and then you will find out what the ruling is. So my dear Islam brothers, hastiness in rendering someone as a sinner. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that if the smell of sharab, alcohol, is coming from someone's mouth, it is impermissible, yani not allowed to apply the Shari ruling upon him, as he may have rinsed his mouth or he may have been enforced to drink it. So with all these doubts present, don't fall into a Muslim's badgumani. Don't fall into a Muslim thinking bad about another Muslim. Such a beautiful misal, example that Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala has given us. Even if someone smells that he has drunk alcohol, always assume, think to yourself that no, he's not an alcoholic. He hasn't drunk sharab. Maybe someone forced him to drink sharab. Maybe you see someone walking into a nightclub. You see someone walking into a nightclub and that person is a Muslim. Don't assume that Ma'azallah is going into the nightclub, he's going to drink sharab and that. You know, this is the talk of the town, isn't it? Oh, I saw someone, I saw him going into the nightclub, I saw him going into the bookie shop. He goes there, he may be going there. And then it's the talk of the town. We've got something to talk about, as if there's nothing else to talk about. You know, and then what will happen, Ma'azallah? His respect, it will be tarnished. And then that person, why did you go into the bookies? Well, I just went inside just to see what time it is. So you make the assumption that he's going to bet inside. And this happened so many times. That's why I keep repeating this, my dear Islamic brothers, that please, when it comes to someone committing a sin, you see a Muslim, no matter who that Muslim is, that Muslim will have an imama, will have a beard, he won't have a beard, he won't have an imama, or even ma'azallah to an extent that he won't even look like a Muslim. But you know he's a Muslim. Don't advertise this. Don't advertise his sins. Don't advertise his bad things. As a Muslim, we should be loving to one another. And this is the beautiful characteristic of the Sahaba Ikram, Ruhama'u Bainahum. They used to be so merciful to one another. They used to help one another. Have you not heard when the Muslims migrated from Makkatul Mukarrama and they went to Madinatul Munawwara? What did the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam do? He made the Ansar the brother of the Muhajir. And these Muhajirs were the Muslims who sacrificed everything nearly. Who sacrificed their houses, who sacrificed their businesses, they sacrificed their families, they sacrificed everything to an extent that only the clothes they were wearing, they came with them clothes into Madinatul Munawwara. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he made them brothers to them of the Muslims of Medina who are called the Ansar. And these Ansar, these Sahaba ikram, you know, if there goes that if one Sahabi had two wives, one, he will give divorce to one and then so that his other brother can marry her. And then if a Sahabi had a business, he may divide that business into two so that half the business will go to his brother. You don't find these examples today. We need to be loving to one another. We need to look at someone. We need to be so loving, so calming. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, especially when it comes to looking at the faults of a Muslim, we shouldn't have time. We should not have time to look at other people's faults. So my dear Islamic brothers, you know, just think to yourself, when you are pointing a finger at someone, these three fingers are pointing towards you as well. Then they are telling you that look at yourself. And Amir al-Sunnah has done many, many bayans on this topic. Nigran-e Shura, Muballighin of Dawat-e Islami have done many bayans on this subject. And we need to remember these bayans. We need to act upon these bayans to save ourselves from the humiliation on the day of judgment. Just imagine, my dear Islamic brothers, on the day of judgment, when we are standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we are asked, why did you have wrong assumption about this Muslim? What is the answer? What are we going to say? And at that time, you know, you're not stood in front of a worldly judge. You're not stood in front of a jury of six people. You are stood in front of the Lord, the Creator, the Cherisher, the Sustainer. And we have answer for that. Just one slight mistake that I made in this world could be enough to take me to the fire of hell. That is why the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says, do not commit a sin thinking to yourself that it's only a minor sin. That could be the biggest sin that you have done in the world. And then do not leave a good deed thinking to yourself that it's only a small thing, because that small thing could be enough to take you to paradise. And my dear Islam brothers, moving on, buying and selling, a lot of people rush into that as well. You go to a shop and because you're in a rush, you want to buy something and you pick up the wrong stuff and you pay the money, you walk outside and then as soon as you get home, you realize, what's this? I bought the wrong stuff. and then you got to go back all the way to the shop again. And so many times brothers have said, you know, I spoke to one brother and he says that I was painting at home. And I went to the shop, you know, where I got the paint from. I ran out of paint. And he says that I was running towards the shop because I just wanted to hurriedly finish my work. He goes, I ran towards the shop. I got the paint, went back home. As soon as I was trying to put it onto the wall, it's the wrong paint. And so what's happened is that you've rushed into that. And then what happened? You've delayed your stuff. You've delayed your work. When you're buying and selling things, especially when you are selling things as well. In a rush, yeah, sometimes people, when they want to sell something, they might sell that item or whatever they are selling, they might sell it on a price which they don't want to sell. So then they realize, oh, I should have got, you know, I should have sold him at this price. I could have earned a few more bobs. I could have sold him for this much. Yeah, and now it's too late because you rush into that, yeah. In the same way, a lot of these things happen when you are buying something. Even, let's talk about big things, you know, on a major scale. I know a brother. He went to an auction, and in that auction, he wanted to buy a car, and he saw this car, and he started bidding for that. And then during that auction, he realized, and he says, I don't think this car's okay for me. But then, yeah, because he was rushing into them, he put his hand up, and the auction, it fell on him, and he says, right, he's buying that. And then he walked on, he goes, I don't want to buy this car. But if you're an auction, especially in the UK, if you are going to an auction and you bid for something, now legally you have to buy that product. No matter where you get that money from, you have to buy that product now. You can't say, look, I made a mistake, I can't do it. Sorry, tough luck. Yeah, so many times this has happened. You bid on something that you don't really want, or you bid too high. You bid too much for that. Now, that thing is not even valued for that. But because you're rushing it, or maybe you're looking at someone else and you're trying to beat him in your bidding, and then you've realized, what have I done? I shouldn't have paid this much. This thing's only valued for so much, and I've paid even, sometimes people pay twice as much. And, you know, it's not even worth that much. So, my dear Islam brothers, buying into things, always be patient. Sometimes, you know, especially when you're buying something, sometimes that same product that you are buying, if you had not rushed into that, you may have got that for a lesser price from somewhere else, or even the same seller, he could have given you that thing, that product that you wanted for a cheaper price. Now, in the same way, my dear Islam brothers, so buying and selling is something that people rush into, and then they make mistakes, and such mistakes that cost them so dearly that people remember that mistake all their lives. In the same way, my dear Islam brothers, people make a mistake in, you know, arguing. You know, they rush into things, and or what happens? A small thing that could have been resolved by them sitting down, talking politely with one another, it could have been resolved. But what happens? You know, you are rushing yourself into it, and because you are rushing yourself into it, you'll say something, you'll get angry, or you'll get the other person angry, and then all of a sudden, what's happened? A fight's kicked off. Yeah? So what happens in that, you know, in that, I'll tell you one story, that there was this Islamic brother, and he was driving his car, and he was supposed to turn left, and he was supposed to indicate. So he didn't indicate, and all he did was, he just turned left without the indicator. And the other guy who was standing on the giveaway, he wanted to turn right. So he stood there. So because the other person did not indicate, he stood there. And then he realized that he's turned in. So what happened? Out of anger, out of rage, you know, I want to talk to this guy. Why did he do that? He could have indicated and I could have pulled out. How many seconds before? 5 or 6 seconds? 10 seconds? Yeah, just for the sake of 5 or 10 seconds that he could have pulled out earlier, he turned his car around, went up to him, stopped him and says to him, why did you not indicate? And then what happened? A fight kicked off. At the end of that fight, one person lost his eyesight and the other person is fighting for his life in the hospital. Over what? Over something which is so stupid, you can't even, you know, you can't even really spend time too much talking on these things. Just a stupid little thing. I mean, why have you walked in front of me? You know, and then, you know, we are doing zulm, ma'azallah. We even commit injustice on people as well. And, my dear Islam brothers, when you come to that extent, where only a small thing that you could have sat down and discussed it amongst yourselves, now you are doing injustice. You're becoming a zalim. Why? Because this thing could have been ignored, or it could have been discussed, or it could have been solved in a better way. But because you rushed into things, you messed up everything, and you caused such a huge argument. And in some cases, I know, you know as well, in some cases, these arguments, they turn so violent that, mashallah, sadly, people even die. And what is the root cause of that? The root cause is that someone looked at you, glared at you, and then because you didn't like that, you went up to him, you talked to him in a rude manner, and then he all kicked off, and he ended up, what? One person losing his life. Who would call that person a clever person? These are fools who do these kind of things. So, my dear Islamic brothers, whenever we come to a situation, how should we be reacting in this kind of a situation? Number one is always say sorry to someone if you have done something wrong. Because you've said sorry to him, that is it, finished. There will be nothing on the day of judgment because you've said sorry to that person. And then you don't say sorry in a manner that you've done something, oh, I'm sorry, alright. You know, you haven't said sorry. That's not the way to say sorry. You need to be ashamed of what you have done. If you've sworn at someone, you've hurt someone's feeling, what you do is you go up to him and you say to him that, look, brother, I may have hurt your feelings, yeah? Or I pushed you, I hit you, I'm very sorry, please forgive me. If he turns around and say, look, brother, don't worry about it, I've forgiven you, there's no problem, it's alright, you know, keep it calm, don't worry about it. That's finished, end of story. And that story finishes in this world. Yet if you go up to someone and say, look, I hit you, okay, and I didn't do it deliberately, you know, just forgive me, okay. And then in your heart you think, well, if he doesn't forgive me, tough luck, I don't care. A lot of people, you know, we've got this attitude, yeah. You do something wrong, you're the one at fault, and then you go to that person and you say sorry in a manner, and the other person says, no, I'm not going to say sorry. Well, tough luck, man, my duty was to come up to you and you say sorry. If you're not forgiving me, now you are at fault. You know, you're making life more difficult for yourself. And then the other, like the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says, adopt mercifulness, adopt kindness. You know, be kind to one another, be merciful to one another. Yeah, and inshallah azza wa jal, you will see that if you are merciful to people in this world, Allah azza wa jal will be merciful towards you on the day of judgment. Even if it's the other person's fault, just go up to that person and say that, look brother, this is what you did. I know it's your fault, or it's your fault, but look, don't worry about it. Everyone makes mistakes. In a beautiful, calmly manner, if you say that to him, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, you're going to be rewarded for that. Why? It's because even though you were not at fault, yeah, even though you are not at fault, you still said sorry to that person, and alhamdulillah azza wa jal, not only will that person think good of you, people will think good of you as well. Oh, look at this guy, he hasn't done anything wrong, yet he is still saying sorry to a person. So this is the beautiful lifestyle that a Muslim should have. We Muslims should be living together amongst one another. We should be smiling at one another. Don't have a sad face. Don't have a crying face when you give. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is greet a Muslim with a smile. And even smiling, the companions, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we are so poor, we cannot give sadaqah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, can you not smile to another Muslim? Can you not greet another Muslim with a smile? Even that is sadaqah as well. If there is anything harmful on the way, on the footpath, if there is something that will cause harm to a Muslim, remove that. That is also sadaqah as well. So my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we've learnt about some of the things that our daily life, these things are. And inshallah azza wa jal, once we adopt these things, inshallah azza wa jal, Allah ta'ala will have mercy on us as well. And inshallah, until next time, when you join us in the next silsila, we will learn about many other things, and we'll learn about some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll read the verses of the Holy Quran. All this is ibadat as well. Until next time, my dear Islam brothers, please keep watching Madani channel. May Allah forgive our sins, and for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make us a true Muslim. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم Often hasty messages from Satan. Haste is the enemy of perfection.